to really connect with an audience. Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox, and welcome to Tuesday Teaching Tips. This is episode number 224. And today we're starting a brand new series. This will run for several weeks. It's based on a new book I read recently, published this year, by a chap called Rob Parsons. And the title of the book is The Heart of Communication, subtitle, How to Really Connect with an Audience. I read it recently, and I have already published my own sort of review, book summary review of the entire book, which you can find on my other podcast called What We're Reading. There's a video version and an audio version, and I believe that's episode number 49. So I'll put the link to that in the show notes. But if you want to watch the summary of the book or listen to it, that's episode 49 of What We Are Reading. But this series of Tuesday Teaching Tips is going to take a, we're going to take a bite-sized bit out of each chapter and make a short presentation, a short video, a short podcast on each of the aspects that Rob Parsons talks about in his book. I can thoroughly recommend it. And as I mentioned in the What We're Reading episode, one of the things I like about the book is that Rob Parsons has spoken not only in a church Christian context, but also in the secular world. And so he brings to bear lessons from both spheres of public speaking that I think then apply to all kinds and contexts of public speaking, including those of us called to preach and teach. So I think you'll find great value in the book on lots of levels. I can't show you a physical copy because I read it on Kindle, but I will put an image up there on screen. And if you want to go and buy it, I would thoroughly recommend it. It's called The Heart of Communication, How to Really Connect with an Audience, Rob Parsons. You can get it on Kindle. It's quite a small book, and it won't take you long to read, and it's not very expensive. But let's see what we can learn from this book as we go through and find out, as looking at each chapter, what might be relevant for you and me. Now, this week, we're going to begin with a description and a discussion about an attitude rather than a practical. And the book has a mixture of both. In fact, I rather like the way the book is short but deep. Its brevity does not mean that it's shallow, which is a helpful thing in such a short book. But we're going to talk about an attitude today rather than a practical, and that is the whole issue of teachability. As Ralph Waldo Emerson said, quoted by Rob Parsons in the book, all the great speakers were bad speakers at first. All the great speakers were bad speakers at first. That's definitely true of me, and that is probably true of you. And believe it or not, it's true of all the great speakers that you admire. Rob says this in the book. If I had to single out one characteristic of those who are the most effective communicators, whether they are addressing audiences of thousands or speaking to seminars of 12, it would be this. They are teachable. They are teachable. Now, I think it's safe to say that most people that hear me speak today would say I'm reasonably competent, and I'm grateful for that. So thank you for that. But it wasn't always like that. My first public speaking experience was at school. I was 17, maybe 18. I took part in a school debating contest. Oh, I can feel how I felt then, even though it was decades ago. It was embarrassing. I didn't prepare well. I didn't know how to speak. I didn't know what to do with my voice, my face, my body, my hands. I actually really didn't know what I was talking about. All I can really remember from the day is an acute sense of embarrassment and the realization that I was sweating visibly and blushing uncontrollably in front of several hundred boys. I've just really felt this is not for me. Fast forward about, another 5 years, and I'm part of a congregation in London, and I'm asked to give a short talk at a Wednesday night meeting. And I spoke on 1 Corinthians 9, verse 23. It's etched into my memory experience banks. And I spoke on 1 Corinthians 9, 23 for 5 minutes. It was terrifying. I'm sure it was dreadful. I stared at my notes the whole time. I didn't make any eye contact. Again, very embarrassed, parched throat. and stomachache for several days surrounding the whole experience. I was left alone for a while after that. Because I'm a singer, I was just song leading, and that was fine. And then I had my opportunity to preach my first sermon. This would be sometime around 1988. And I shared that sermon with my good friend, Stephen Arthur Allen. We did half each. And again, it was just an awful experience. There was I standing in front of 1,000 people, not knowing what on earth I was talking about, and feeling dreadfully out of place. What am I doing up here? And I still have my notes somewhere. I must dig them out. I kept them just as a reminder of where you begin, I suppose. So that was my third experience of public speaking in that way. But fast forward 30 years or so from that time, and I feel, although I find public speaking still very challenging, and I always feel nervous, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that, I think I'm reasonably competent, and people tell me so. And I'm grateful for that. But I realize it's not by accident. It's not just by being 30 years older that I'm better at public speaking. It's because of at least these factors, which I noted. Firstly, it's about practice. Practice and practice and practice and practice and more practice. It's about having good mentors. People who gave me honest and kind feedback, helping me to figure out what I needed to work on. It's about reading. Reading books about public speaking and reading other things that could help me to know my topic and my subject that I'm talking about. It's about having plenty of opportunity. I'm grateful for the people over the years who've given me the opportunity to speak when I perhaps didn't deserve it, wasn't quite ready for it, and didn't make the most of it. But I'm so grateful for people giving me opportunities. And it's about boatloads of feedback. The feedback on YouTube videos that I get sometimes, or emails back from people. Feedback from people who are there when I speak and give me feedback afterwards or another time. Feedback I give myself by watching some of my sermons or listening to them and thinking, oh, that really worked, or that didn't work. It's not about latent talent. I mean, I think I have some talent, but it's not really about that. It's about the training, or more importantly, as Rob says, it's about the teachability. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm the most teachable person in the world. I have my own insecurities, and public speaking is an insecure thing to do, and to receive feedback when you're a fairly insecure person about an area which creates great insecurity is a double whammy. And so I'm not going to sit here and say I've always been very teachable, or I've always welcomed the feedback, or I've always gone out and sought it the way I should. But what I can tell you is that when I have accepted feedback, when I have gone and sought further training, when I have sought after improvement, I can see the benefits. And I think those who listen to me can see them as well. And so teachability is the first key factor in growing to be an effective communicator and being able to connect with those you're speaking to. In his book, Rob Parsons quotes Sir Alex Ferguson, previously manager of Manchester United, who said this. He says that having watched and trained some of the most gifted footballers in the world, Sir Alex Ferguson said this, hard work will always overcome natural talent when talent does not work hard enough. That's so true in every area of life. Hard work will always overcome natural talent when talent does not work hard enough. For you and I to be better public speakers, it's really about hard work. It's not about the talent you were born with, or the talent other people think you have, or the talent that you think or don't think you have. It is about applying the hard work to improve as a speaker. So my question for you today at the beginning of this series is, who is your teacher? Who are your teachers? What sources do you consult to gain understanding and knowledge about the quality of your speaking and how to make it more effective? Where are you going? Who are you talking to? Who are you listening to help you with this? Ever so slightly tangentially, let me offer you the example of Apollos in the scriptures. Someone, it said in Acts 18, verse 25, who had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and who spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately. Fantastic. Here's a man. He's been instructed. He speaks with great fervor, teaches about Jesus accurately. Excellent. Job done. Everything necessary sorted out right. Except that when he bumps into Aquila and Priscilla, it says in Acts 18, verse 26, when they heard him, they invited him to their home and explained the way of God more adequately. Explained the way of God more adequately. He needed further teaching. He needed further training. Now, granted, in the context, this isn't about perhaps the quality of the talent of his speaking. This is probably more about doctrine and teaching about Jesus and perhaps especially baptism, because in the context it refers to John, the baptism of John the Baptist. So it may be more about that, but my point is that Apollos, somebody who had already been instructed, who already spoke with great fervor, who already taught about Jesus accurately, someone with all those qualities and background still was open to being taught. Taught by Priscilla and Aquila. And as a result, you see, this is the great thing. This is what I love about Apollos. As a result, in verse 27 of Acts 18, it says that when he arrived, he went to other churches, and when he arrived there, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed. He was a great help. Seems to imply he was a help before. Now, further training, further teaching, more learning, he's now a great help. He needed more than he had. Listen, I turn 60 next year. I need more than I have to continue to be effective and to be more effective in the way I communicate. That's one of the reasons I read Rob Parson's book. He's been doing it longer than me. He retired recently. He's done more speaking than I have in his life. I need to keep learning. I want to keep learning and growing. I want to become more and more effective if I possibly can to connect better. To connect better. You know, so much of public speaking is not about what you know. It's not about all the techniques, though we will talk about them, but it's about employing them so that we connect. If we don't connect, what's the point? We can speak truth. We can speak things that are accurate. We can speak what needs to be said. But if we don't connect, largely it's going to be in vain. Think about Jesus for a minute. Wasn't one of the most amazing things about Jesus that he truly connected with people? Sometimes they liked it. Sometimes they really didn't. He connected with his opponents in a way that made them furious. He didn't want to make them furious, but they wouldn't have become furious if he hadn't really connected with them. And those who were delighted at his teaching wouldn't have felt that sense of delight if he hadn't truly connected. The best speakers, is that the right word? The most effective speakers, the most useful speakers, perhaps to us all, are those who connect, as long as what they're saying is actually true. But if you combine truth with genuine connection, that's a powerful combination that can bring God's truth into people's hearts such that then God's word is able to have its effect on them. And that's our goal. It's not about me and my talents and gifts or yours. It's about enabling there to be a channel of God's word to go into someone's heart and mind so that then the word can do its work. That's the point. So let me know what you think. Please drop a comment anywhere you hear or see this recording. You can leave a comment in the box below if you're watching on YouTube. And if you know anybody that might benefit, please pass the link on to them so that they can learn about how to connect as well. If you've read the book, let me know what you think of it. And if you have any thoughts or questions about this series, do also let me know. You can email me, malcolm@malcolmcox.org. You can also find me at my website, malcolmcox.org. And if you haven't already done so, please do sign up for my newsletter there. You'll see some boxes to sign up. And if you do so, I shall send you a free ebook on spiritual disciplines. I'll be glad to do that. So until the next time, I hope and pray, really hope and pray for myself and for you, that you'll find your ability to connect grows as we go through this series. Until the next time, I hope you have a terrific Tuesday and a wonderful week. Take care and God bless.